"She's hungry," Inone said, a thought which was vigorously echoed by Syrinx. "Stop fussing," Athene said. "She'll be fed once we've dressed her, and we've got another 6 to pick up yet. She's going to have to learn to take her turn." Syrinx let out a plaintive mental wail of protest. "Oh, you're going to be a bonny handful, aren't you?" She was, but then so were all of her 9 siblings as well. The house Athene had taken was a circular one, consisting of a single-story ring of rooms surrounding a central courtyard. Its walls were polyp, and its curved roof was a single sheet of transparent composite which could be opaqued as required. It had been grown to order by a retired captain 200 years previously, when arches and curves were the fashion, and there wasn't a flat surface anywhere. The valley it sat in was typical of Romulus's interior, with low rolling sides, lush tropical vegetation, a stream feeding a series of lakes. Small, colourful birds glided through the branches of the old vine-webbed trees, and the air was rich with the scent of the flower cascades. It resembled a wilderness paradise, conjuring up images of the pre-industrial Amazon forests, but like all the Edenist habitats, every square centimetre was meticulously planned and maintained. Syrinx and her brothers and sisters had the run of it as soon as they had learnt to toddle. Nothing harmful could happen to children or anybody else with the habitat personality watching the entire interior the whole of the time. Athene and Sinon had help, of course, both human nursery workers and the house chimps, monkey-derived bitech servitors. But even so, it was exhausting work. As she grew up, it was obvious that Syrinx had inherited her mother's auburn hair and slightly oriental jade eyes. From her father she got her height and reach. Neither parent claimed responsibility for her impetuosity. Sinon was terribly careful not to display any public favouritism, though the whole brood soon learnt to their creative advantage that he could never say no or stay cross with his daughter for long. When she was 5 years old, the whispers in her sleep began. It was Romulus who was responsible for her education, not Inone. The habitat personality acted as her teacher, directing a steady stream of information into her sleeping brain. The process was interactive, allowing the habitat to quiz her silently and repeat anything which hadn't been fully assimilated the first time. She learnt about the difference between Edenists and Adamists, those humans who had the affinity gene and those who didn't, the originals, whose DNA was geneered but not expanded. The flood of knowledge sparked an equally impressive curiosity. Romulus didn't mind. It had infinite patience with all its 500,000-strong population. "The difference seems silly to me," she confided to Inone one night as she lay in her bed. "The Adamists could all have the affinity if they wanted to. It must be horrible to be so alone in your head. I couldn't live without you." "If people don't want to do something, you shouldn't force them," Inone replied. For a moment they shared the vista of the rings. That night Inone was orbiting high above the dayside of the saffron gas giant planet. It loomed through the misty particle drifts, a 2/3 crescent which always held her entranced. Sometimes she seemed to spend the whole night watching the colossal cloud armies at war. "It's still silly of them," she insisted. "One day we will visit Adamist worlds, then we'll understand. I wish we could go now. I wish you were big enough." "Soon, Syrinx. Forever. I'm 35 meters broad now. The particles have been thick this month. Just another 13 years. "Double forever," the 6-year-old replied brokenly. Edenism was supposed to be a completely egalitarian society. Everybody had a share in its financial, technical, and industrial resources. Everybody, thanks to affinity, had a voice in the consensus which was their government. But in all the Saturn habitats, the Voidhawk captains formed a distinct stratum of their own, fortune's favourites. There was no animosity from the other children, neither the habitat personality nor the adults would tolerate that, and animosity couldn't be hidden with communal affinity. But there was a certain amount of manoeuvring. After all, the captains would one day choose their own crews from the people they could get on with. The inevitable childhood groups which formed did so around the tub captains.